Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir this week. We are approaching Parshas Tetzaveh, all about the big day, Kahuna. This evening, I would like to speak to you about leadership, and specifically the concept of taking the weight of the pain, the feelings of Klal Yisrael on your shoulders. When is that appropriate? When is not appropriate? And how does it affect the halacha, by carrying the weight of Klal Yisrael, of the tzibur on your shoulders? Let's see what we can do. The Torah says, "Va'asu es ha'efod." So the Kohen Gadol would have a special apron-type clothing, and on the top there would be these shoulder straps, shteik tefot chovrot yulo al shnei ketosav v'chubar. And the Torah describes in Chavches Tes, "V'lakach det shtei avnei shoham." So you would take these two stones, "Ubitachta aleim shemos bnei Yisrael," and you would engrave into them the names of the Shvatim, six on one stone, six on the other stone, as the Torah says, black on white. And "Visamta et shtei ha'avanim akisvos ha'efod," so you would put the two stones on the shoulder straps, "Avnei zikaron livnei Yisrael." So when the Kohen Gadol was walking, he would have these avnei shom on his shoulders, and the Torah refers to them as stones of remembrance. The Nasa Aaron at Shmotam lifnei Hashem, Aaron shall carry their names in front of Hashem, al shtei ketefav lizikaron. He carries them on his shoulders as a memory, as something to remember something. Who is remembering what? So Rashi says, Hashem sees the names of Klal Yisrael, of the 12 Shvatim, sheyire HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvatim kesuvin lefanab, so when Hashem sees the names of the Shvatim, it will be good for us. Because when Hashem sees the names of the Shvatim, Hashem will say, whoa, the Shvatim, they were big tzaddikim. And in the merit of those tzaddikim, namely our leaders, the Shvatim, it will serve us well. Hashem will be more likely to judge us favorably. Something along those lines. So that's what the Torah means when it refers to the Avnei Shoma as Avnei Zikaron, that they will bring our memory up to Hashem, and Hashem will be more merciful in response. Okay, now that's beautiful. That's Rashi. It's Chazal's traditional. But I couldn't help but think of the symbolism of a Kohen Gadol, a leader of Klal Yisrael, carrying the stones on his shoulders, thinking that by having the names of the 12 Shvatim on his shoulders, that must represent something along the lines of the Kohen Gadol carrying the burden of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. That's what we would say colloquially nowadays. And I was not the first person to think of this. Rabbi Moshe Targan Shlita on OUTorah.org on Parshas Tetzaveh. I'm not sure what year this was written, but he has an article entitled "The L Word," Rabbi Moshe Targan, all about leadership. And in the part of that article entitled "Bearing Responsibility," Rabbi Moshe Targan from Eretz Yisrael, the Gush, writes as follows. The Kohen Gadol wore a lower body apron under the ephod. He describes the Avnei Shoam. And then he writes, the names of all 12 tribes were nestled on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. A leader needs strong and broad shoulders. Fundamentally, leadership means carrying the weight of other people's needs and bearing the responsibility with confidence and calm. Some people are crushed by the weight of expectations and the fear of failure. Leaders are ennobled by the dignity of duty and the selflessness of responsibility. Interestingly, the names of the tribes were divided in two different columns. Six names were inscribed on one gem and six on the other gemstone. Sometimes we are forced to carry multiple and even conflicting responsibilities. Carrying different stones on different shoulders signaled the challenge of juggling multiple and often conflicting needs. Leaders know how to manage many weights and many pressures which bear in on them all at once. Okay, so beautiful drasha from Rabbi Moshe Targan. Not only did he say that it represents, the Avnei Shoam represent carrying the burden, but he even goes into more detail that you have to space it out, know how to divide and conquer. You know, I'm dealing with this tzara on this shoulder, I'm dealing with that tzara on that shoulder. And yes, it is unfortunately rather common for community leaders to be dealing with multiple issues at one time, and you kind of know what everyone's going through. And it's a lot. It's a lot emotionally, and it's a lot just to handle. And you carry that on your shoulders. Okay. So the only thing is, how does this affect the halacha? So what? Okay. So who's supposed to do this stuff? And what does this even mean? What are we talking about? Right? Can anyone think of a halacha where the concept of being involved with other people's sorrows or needs actually has halachic significance? Like, where would that come up? Maybe burying someone, right? I would say like that, but like, is that your job to bury someone? What does it depend upon, right? Well, is there anyone else to bury the guy? What about the concept maybe of tzedakah, right? There's a burden on the community to build, right? Well, whose burden is that on, right? What if that guy has a bigger bank account, right? So maybe it's more his burden, right? So the Rambam writes, first of all, is before we go into the halacha, we should all know, we take it for granted, obviously the Kohen Gadol is a leader of Klal Yisrael. What does he do on Yom Kippur first? He goes to the Tanaim of him, says the Rambam, the Rambam writes that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has a tefillah, Yerusma Fanach Hashem Elokeinu, right? That if the year was supposed to be dry, it should have rain. V'lo yasar shevet mi beis Yehuda, we should all be safe. V'lo yi amcha Yisrael tzrichim leparnasa, we should have money. V'al tikanes lefanach tefilas ovrei drachim. Whoa. Yeah, so very good. So ultimately, I just wanted to use this Rambam as a source, black or white, where the Kohen Gadol carries the burden of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. He's davening for us. Okay, so where does this come up in Shas? Chazal, in addition to Gemara, authored these longer braces that didn't make the cut. They are printed in the back of Shas, known as the Tosefta. Tosefta, Maseches Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, discusses the time that we are supposed to recite Kriyat Shema. We know, practically, we can recite Shema as early as dawn if you really need to. But it's best to do it at sunrise, and you have until Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, until 3 hours into the day. But in that context, Rabbi Yehuda says, one time I was walking behind Rabbi Akiva and behind Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And you know what? The time came to recite Kriyat Shema. I guess it was sunrise. And it appeared to me that they were not doing it. You know why? Because they were oskin betzarchei tzibur. They were in the middle of dealing with a communal issue. What that communal issue was, we do not know. So says Rabbi Yehuda, I read the Shema. But you know what? They did not read the Shema right there and then. They delayed. And then they read the Shema. And by the time they read the Shema, the sun had already had risen on the mountain. So essentially, at a minimum, they delayed Shema and they did not recite it at the opportune time. They missed sunrise, which on their level was probably a very, very big deal. But source number one, which is a crucial source for the evening, these great Tanaim said, although there's a mitzvah mid'oraisa, a biblical commandment to recite the Kriyat Shema right now, we're not doing it right now because there's something more important to be done. And what is that? Help Klal Yisrael. Help Klal Yisrael. And it was their responsibility for some reason. Whoa. Now we move into Talmud Bavli. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Maseches Yud Aleph, Maseches Shabbos Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Tanya. So, let's say we're shtag in the Torah, and it's time to say Shema. What do? We stop? We stop for Shema, but we don't stop for Shmona Esrei. So we would stop the learning, but not for everything. So wait a minute. This is not true across the board. Rabbi Yochanan points out, Lo shano elikagon Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. But regular people, you don't say that your learning Torah is more important than davening. Someone like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was learning constantly, 24/7. So therefore, his learning overrides his davening. Regular people, like Rabbi Yochanan, right, was arguing that I'm not on the Madrega, and therefore we would never say, oh, I don't need to daven Shacharis today because I'm busy learning. No. You learn, that's good, but you also daven. You stop your Daf Yomi Shir. You have a 5:30 a.m. Daf Yomi Shir. You stop at 6:30. The daven Shacharis, beautiful. Okay, the only thing is, there's a brisa that says not that way. The brisa says black on white, says the Gemara. Kishem Shein Mafsik in the Tefillah, just like you don't stop learning for the sake of davening. So I don't get it. When do you stop? When do you not stop? So you know what? The Gemara says, you know what that was talking about? Kitani Hahib Ibur Shana. Ooh, when do you definitely stop your learning? when you're in charge of making the Jewish calendar, of making a leap year. The Amar of Ada Bar Av of Chentanu, Save de Hagronia, the elders of that location, Amar of Elazar ben Berbit Sadok, when we would learn the Ibur Hashana, we wouldn't stop for anything. We were busy dealing with the community and their needs, like the Jewish calendar, what's the date this year, and how many months are there going to be, how many others there going to be. There was nothing more important in the world. And we wouldn't even stop to say the Shema. Certainly not to say Tefillah. Wow. So all of a sudden we have two sources in Chazal. The second one saying that they were literally dealing with the Jewish calendar, and that was more important than anything else. Not even Shema should be recited. A third source in Chazal, Gemara Yerushalmi. So we had Tosefta, we had Bavli, now we have Yerushalmi. Rav Yirmiyahu Amar, Lo Yamar Adam Yispal Mitoch Din Shel Halacha. You shouldn't go into davening very confused. Rather, what type of Torah should you learn right before you daven? Straightforward halacha. And then he says, if you're Osek B'tzarchei Tzibor, Ke Osek B'divrei Torah. That is a loaded statement of Rav Yirmiyahu. Again, that person who is dealing with the communal needs, it's as if he's learning Torah. Let's figure out what that comparison means. What is it? So therefore, what is it? Because it's as if he's learning Torah, therefore what? We'll have to learn. Yeah, therefore, Adam, what do you think?
Therefore, he doesn't have to
daven. So you say, in the same way that learning Torah can exempt you sometimes from davening, so too, Tzarchi Tzibur can exempt you from davening. So we're going to pass again like Adam. So the Rambam is going to apply these halachos, both in Hilchos Tefillah and in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. So what does the Rambam write? When it comes to davening, well, let's say you're learning Torah, now it's time to daven. Says the Rambam, you have to stop learning. Dav Yom Yishir is now over. It's time to daven. Unless you're Shem Bar Yochai, unless you're always learning. That's different. You don't have to stop, because that guy's Torah is like a different level. That doesn't really happen nowadays. But then the Rambam writes, V'chol ha'osik v'tzarchei rabim, if you are dealing with community matters, ke'osik b'divrei Torah. Wow. That's as if you're learning Torah.
You could type Tzarchei Rabim as many things. I mean, you're the baker for the yeshiva.
Very nice.
That's not Tzarchei Rabim.
Very, very nice. So AB says we have to define what Tzarchei Rabim means. Does it mean something basic or more, we'll say, spiritual? But you could say, if I don't bake the bread, then my whole community is not going to have... Right now, yeah, then I can have challah for Shabbos. Or, you know, I'm fixing the mikvah. You know, you could get pretty... You know, a plumber might be the biggest man in the community right now, right? You know, someone who knows how to fix a mikvah, whatever it is. Very good. I'll tell you a story about that shortly. But then the Rambam Mekuyat Shema, so the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah just equated learning Torah with Tzarchei Rabim. Tzarchei Rabim equals Torah. That's the Gemara Yerushalmi we saw, right? But the Rambam then a Kriyat Shema, here's the monkey wrench, here's the curveball. Let's say you're learning Torah and it's time to say Shema. Says the Rambam, well, do you stop? Of course you stop. It's time to say Shema. But what if you're dealing with Tzarchei Rabim? You don't stop.
Because that's like the learning of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Now that's a great point. So AB one, all right. So here, so but here
it's got to be the equal type of.
Very good. So the Rambam here is saying that if you're Otek B'Tzarchei Tzibur, you don't have to stop, even for Kriya Shema. Rather, Ela Yigmor Iske and finish the deed, whatever you need to do for the Tzibur, and then read Shema Im Nishar Eight Likos if there's still time left. What does that imply? You might not get to say Shema today because you're busy. Justified. You were good busy, right? Busy season. Osek Patzarchei Tzibur. Trumps Kriyat Shema and the Rambam. Now, the Kesef Mishnah is looking at this, and the Lechem Mishnah is looking at this. I love the Lechem Mishnah's presentation of this. The Lechem Mishnah says, I don't understand. Here in Kriyat Shema, the Rambam says that what? Tzarchei Rambam. Tzarchei Rambam is better than Talmud Torah. You know why? Because here the Rambam said, you don't have to stop. Here in Kriyat Shema, he says, even if you are Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what do you do when Zman Kriyat Shema comes? What does the Rambam say? What is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai exempt from? Only davening. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai needs to stop his Torah for Kriyat Shema. Ooh, so even if you're in the category of what we call Torasso Amunasso, that won't get you out of Kriyat Shema. That will get you out of Tefillah. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had to say Kriyat Shema every day, every night. So what's the Rambam talking about over here? Here, evidently, the Rambam is saying that Osek Petzarchi Tzibur is even better than the Madrega of constantly learning. Because if you were Torasso Amunasso, you would have to say Kriyat Shema. So where did the Rambam get that from? The Gemara Yishalmi just said that Tarachit Tzibur equals Torah. Not that Talmud Torah gets you out of, not that Tarachit Tzibur gets you out of Tarachit, not that Tarachit Tzibur gets you out of Kriyat Shema. He says, you know what? If you're Osek B'Tarachit Tzibur, you know what you are? You're Osek B'Mitzvah. What's the halacha?
I mean, that makes sense because learning is more like theoretical. Here you're actually putting learning.
Very nice. Very nice. So Robert has a beautiful point that the whole point of learning Torah is a little more amanas lasos, amanas lakayim. So to learn Torah is only a means to an end to practice the mitzvos. So here you're actually practicing the mitzvos. That actually should be a better exemption than the actual learning, right? Because here you're practicing. Very good. So it says like a mission, essentially what Robert's saying. Here you're doing a mitzvah. And what's the halacha? When you always take a mitzvah, you're patur mitzvah. When you're doing mitzvah X, you're exempt from mitzvah Y. So here, the guy who's always a petzarchei rabim doesn't have to do kriyat shema. Wow. Wow. And that's the idea, that if you're burying someone, you're patur from kriyat shema. Whoa. Whoa. So, but what the Lecha Mishnah pointed out is that according to the Rambam, when you are doing Tarchei Rabim, it's actually on a higher level than someone who's constantly learning, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Now, what we need to do here is try to figure out, well, how does this affect us? How does this affect us? So who's Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur? And how does that affect their exemptions from other mitzvahs? Let's learn qualification number one. Rabbeinu Manoach is quoted in the Kesef Mishnah. Many posts quote this Kesef Mishnah. Rabbeinu Manoach says, that was only back then. Because people who were Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur back in the day, they were what? L'shem Shamayim. Wow. What a charif Rabbeinu Manoach. And now these people think they're Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur, but they're not really on that madrega. And the Kesef Mishnah is quoting this Rabbeinu Manoach, and then Rabbeinu Manoach himself says, no, it's not true. It's not true. If you're Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur, even in his day, even quote-unquote nowadays, at the time of the writing of the Rabbeinu Manoach, so even if you're trying to save Klal Yisrael's money, and you're the guy for the job, V'ein mi she'ishtal b'divrayim elahu, you're the guy who they need, you don't have to stop. You don't have to stop for Kriyat Shema. Meaning, and the Kesef Mishnah is, I don't even understand what that would have meant. What in previous generations, they were the Shem Shemaim and not anymore. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't even understand the Hava Amina of the Rabbeinu Manoach. And Rabbeinu Manoach himself said, no, but even nowadays, if you're saving Klal Yisrael, you're saving Klal Yisrael. But it does allow us to question, is everyone really genuinely being Osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur? Because
that's why you say Tzarchei Tzibur Be'emuna.
Ah, Be'emuna. Very nice. V'chol mi she'osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur Be'emuna. And that's nice that the Trump even elongates that word, right? Right, Be'emuna. It gets a little Shoshelis type thing, right? So it's really asking everybody, are you really Osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur Be'emuna? And that's what we have to do. Because let's be a little bit of a disrespectful balabasal all of a sudden. Let's play the game. Oh, so the rabbi is telling me, if I'm Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur, I don't have to daven. Okay, so I'll just be Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur all day, every day. Right? And I never have to say Shema, I never have to put on my tefillin. Right? Obviously, that's ridiculous. Right? So we can't abuse this halacha. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ayin, Siv Dalet. Hay Osek B'Tarchei Rabim. Lo yafsik. If you were in the middle of helping the community, do not stop for Kriyat Shema. Finish what you're doing, and then read the Shema, if there's time. Who's this guy? Who's Superman over here that the Tzibur needs? Says the Mishnah Berurah, we're dealing with someone who needs to be the guy. He's the guy. She'ein shami she'ishtadel elahu. This guy is the one guy that Klal Yisrael needs right now to do the mitzvah that he's doing. So you know he's really Osek B'Tarchei Tzibur. And you know what? If you miss Kriyat Shema, says the Mishnah Berurah, Vim lo nishar ma yaseh, What can be done? Hare asak b'mitzvah. He was exempt. All right, you still have to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day, and then all his qualifications. Like, remember, don't forget to recite at least Vayomer, and, you know, stuff like that. And the Bir Halacha says, whoa, 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 what if you're doing it for the money? What if you're doing it for the money? Is that called Tzarchei Tzibur? Let me give you an example. A community needs an Eruv. I'm the only guy who knows how to build an Eruv. You know, how many guys actually know how to build an Eruv, right? So, like, Rav Chaim Jachter, he knows how to build Eruv, and he goes all over the country, or Canada, whatever, to build Eruv. What if he says, oh, Moshe Pesach and Tzibur, and this is my Parnassa? No. Which one is it? Are you Osek Pesach and Tzibur, or are you Osek Parnassa? Right? You can't have both, right? So the Bir Halacha says, if we know, this is the Bir Halacha in Lamed Ches, Ches, that the guy's intention is only for profit, that's not called Osek B'mitzvah. But if his Kavana is both for the mitzvah and for Parnassa, that's okay. That's still considered to be Osek B'mitzvah. You have an Erlich Yid, like Rabbi Jachter, who's building some Erev, or he's writing some get, whatever, and like, quote unquote, a community needs me right now. You have some holy Jew building some mikvah somewhere, you know, and the community really needs him. Okay, he happens to be taking home a paycheck also. That's that. If he's Erlich, if he's honest, if he's really doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, okay, granted he gets paid, that's still called Osek B'mitzvah. Beautiful. All right, so I'm going to point out where this came up. There's an amazing halacha. I'll tell you a crazy story. It's a crazy story, and then we'll try to zoom out a little bit before we take the shir into a different zone. The tour in Yoredeya, Shin Mem Aleph, quotes his father, the holy Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, that he was an Avel on Shabbos. Someone died on Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, he did not daven Mariv. So what happened on Sunday morning? They buried the person, and after the person was buried, he had to make up Shachris. I'm sorry, he davened Shachris, because it was still the morning.
No
Tashlumen. Did he say Tashlumen for Mariv or not? He did not. Very good, Abi. Why? Because the previous night, he was absolutely exempt from Mariv. You don't have to make up Mariv if you never had to daven Mariv in the first place. Okay? Do you know what the Drisha says on that Gemara? The same halacha would apply, not if you're an Avelis, but if you're Osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur. And you missed a tefillah because the entire time frame of that tefillah was missed because you were busy helping the community. You do not need to make it up. Wow.
So wondrous.
I'll tell you the wondrous. I've been thinking about this question for like 15 years. Dr. David Pelkovitz, Shlita, one of my life mentors. He was my professor in Israeli, and at Smicha we heard a bunch from him. World-renowned psychologist and speaker, unbelievable Jew, role model, a real mentor of mine. He told us a crazy story in Azrieli back in the day, or Smicha, or both. And he said, and this is in honor of the late Mashkiach of Lakewood, Rav Matisyahu Solomon Zatzal. We're just around the Shloshim now. I don't know exactly, you know, just around there. There was he, Rabbi David Pelkovitz, Dr. Pelkovitz, was called to Lakewood to speak to Lakewood Rabbanim about a communal issue. He's in a room with Rav Matisyahu Solomon and a bunch of rabbis from Lakewood. He's talking to them about, abuse or some of the, you know, the sensitive topics that the Rabbanim unfortunately had to deal with in that community at that time. And the sun was getting lower and lower as the meeting was going on and on. They have a room of frum Jews. Robert, you know the story?
Yeah.
How'd you hear the story?
I read it.
You read it, so I didn't know if it was published or whatever. So one of the rabbis starts getting very nervous. These are very pious individuals. Like, Shkia's coming. We got to daven mincha.
Wrap this up.
And he started getting more and more antsy. And Rav Matisyahu Solomon doesn't budge. He's just listening to Dr. Pelkovitz. And eventually, it's getting really close to Shkia. And this rabbi, I remember Dr. Pelkovitz said, I felt so bad. This man had probably never missed the mincha before in his life. He couldn't take it anymore. And he said, Rebbe, Rav Matisyahu, mincha, Shkia. Rav Matisyahu does not get angry. An idle, gentle soul spoke very firmly to this Rav. And said, sit down. No one in this room will daven mincha today. Dr. Pelkovitz, go on. Now, it was this halacha. We're osig b'tzarchi tzibur. Now, I had just heard that story, and I'm in the YB basement, just learning this halacha with my halacha chavrim. So, Dr. Morty Fenster, and I'm like, Morty, do you think they had to make it up? Do they have to do tashlumen? Right? Because, I don't know, you know, so the Jewish would say, no.
So, if you had...
All right. No one has a kasha advice. All right.
That's because I always understood these stories. Yeah, it's very nice. Like, I'm the only one who can watch the space now, so it's fine. But if there are two people in the room watching the mace, one goes out and davens.
Yeah, see, that's the halacha. That is before.
Yeah, that's right. Solomon was making the point.
Yeah, this is serious, right?
This is serious stuff that wasn't serious until now, and it must be.
That's right. So he clearly felt that was the right thing to do at that time. Very good. Very, 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 very good. Now, there is a totally different way to read this halacha. Remember we said before that Rabbi Yirmiyah and the Gemara Yishalmi said, Oseh Petzarchi Tzibur is like learning Torah. That might mean that it's just a good thing to do before you daven. And that's exactly the way Tosfos and Pesachos Baruch Hashem Aleph presents it, that there are certain things you should do before you daven and certain things you should not do before you daven. So being Oseh Petzarchi Tzibur is a good thing to do before you daven. And the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what? If you're Oseh B'tzarchi Tzibur, that's a good thing to do before davening. As long as it's not too intense, and you can still daven, Shegamzu Simcha Hilo. It brings you Simcha, says the Shulchan Aruch, that you're Oseh B'tzarchi Tzibur. Wow.
Shegamzu Simcha Hilo to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Ah, very good, very good. That Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes like that. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says it's a good thing to do before you daven that you're always b'tzarchi tzibur because it will allow you to enter tefillah in a state of happiness, being that you're proud of the fact that you helped the tzibur. But the Mishnah Berurah immediately qualifies and says, okay, but make sure it's like quick. In the same way, you shouldn't learn intricate halachas that will confuse you and distract you during davening because your head won't be able to get out of that. So don't start building a mikveh 10 minutes before shacharis. Right, do something quick, whatever you want, whatever it is. Okay, now I thought, and here we'll take the halacha into Ashkafa. It's a good thing to think about the tzibur before you daven. You know why? Because it reminds you what you're davening for. When you're osik b'tzarchi tzibur before you daven, it's a really good thing to do before you daven. Because it will remind you of all the tzarchi tzibur that you need to be davening for. The Kohen Gadol knew exactly what he was doing on Yom Kippur. He knew exactly what he needed to daven for, who he needed to daven for. And when you think about the modern day Kohen Gadol, the Hasidic community, where they need a bracha from the Rebbe, the Rebbe knows who he's davening for. The community rabbis know exactly who they're davening for. And people are asked when they're getting married, a chassan under a schuppah, please daven for X, Y, or Z. And we all have to be aware on our own level how to help the tzibur in our own way. And specifically, who did daven for? And I want to point out, again, here we'll bridge to Hashkafa, this is not halacha for rabbis per se. This is someone who has the ability to take upon himself the tzarchei tzibur. So Dr. Karp was zocher to do this in COVID, where, you know, as a medical doctor, there was a tzarcha of the tzibur. And Lowell, during busy season, is going to take on some pro bono work for all the Mechanchim and Fairlawn. He'll take on all the TABC Jake studies taxes. And everyone has the ability to be Oseh B'tzarchi Tzibur. I remember in Moshe Kollel, the Erev was down. And there were a few punky staff members. I don't know if they daven three times a day. You imagine the biggest, you know, coolest athletic Morasha sports staff guys. But you know what? They were strong and capable men. They came with their golf cart, with their hammers, and whatever Willick told them to do, chop down this tree, you know, put this nail in that tree, and somehow get this fish wire, this net over that thing, down to pretty close to Shabbos. And you know, when Shabbos started, Rav Willick said, we have to thank the Morasha sports staff. Only because of them do we have an heir of the Shabbos. That was their moment of shining honor, you know, the shining honor, shining armor. And it was only because of their isuk, b'tzarchei tzibur, Baruch Hashem for them. And you know what? People in the field of mental health, oh boy, do we need a lot of tzarchei tzibur. And yeah, certainly if you're in the food industry and you have the ability to feed people and you give over your leftovers to those in need, you know, chesed is not always done by rabbis. You have Yad Leah, you have a garage in Tinek where you just dump clothing that you don't use anymore that's in good shape. And it just gets taken to people in Israel who need it. That's pretty darn awesome. So I want to point out, the Mishnah Berurah's point was that if you're the guy that Klal Yisrael needs, so you're the guy who might not need to say Kriya Shema right now. Unbelievable. Now again, obviously, say Kriya Shema if you can, right? Like say the first pasuk, say Baruch Shem, right? The Mishnah Berurah points that out also. Like, all right, at least say the first pasuk, says at least, you know, try to get a little bit in, you know, don't use this as an excuse. You know, like, all right, you know, and Baruch Hashem, nowadays, we don't really need to miss Kriya Shema practically, but that Rav Matisyahu Solomon story is probably the closest thing we've seen to this concept in real time, where, like, they all did not daven Mincha because of Tzarchei Tzibur. Wow. But it is now Purim Katan. As we speak, it is the 14th day of Adar Aleph, and we don't say Tachanun tomorrow. There's a concept of being a little bit more joyous. And the Ramah says, we might not really have a lot of mishta v'simcha, but the Lashon of the Ramah is Yarbik Tzat B'Seuda. Maybe have something a little bit extra tomorrow at lunch, have a cookie, I don't know, something like that. It's a nice thing to be in the Purim spirit, have a little bit of extra stuff, maybe invite people. Rabbi Yechiel Mipariz is quoting the Mishnah Berurah. Regular harbo to the Hasman people, he would invite people over, you know, make a little bit of a chavaya, a little bit, just a little bit. But we are within 30 days of Purim, it's official. We are within the season, the time period of Purim. I wanted to use tonight's shiur as an area to understand the dialogue, a conversation between Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai told Esther, Klal Yisrael needs you right now. You need to speak to Ahasuerus. And Esther said, I can't do that. I might die. And Mordechai said, no, you need to do that. And if you don't do it, someone else will. But the Tzibur needs you right now. And the Malbim explains that Esther was nervous because she felt the burden of Klal Yisrael on her shoulders. But you know what Mordechai told her? You got it backwards, Esther. You got it backwards. You don't have to carry the burden of Klal Yisrael on your shoulders because they're going to be saved no matter what. Right now, you're their shaliach. It's not your responsibility to save them. It's your opportunity to save them. And once Esther felt that, she felt a lot better. And she understood, because I'm working on behalf of the Tzibur, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. But Mordechai had to explain the Malbim as a pun. It's Nahafohu. You think that you're the queen, and therefore it's your responsibility to save Klal Yisrael. No, says Mordechai. Klal Yisrael will be saved, and that's why Hashem made you the queen. They're the ones carrying you. You are the queen because of them. That's why Hashem put you in this position. And the Maharal in his Parasha on the Megillah says, Esther then friend said, okay, if I'm only going in because of the Tzibur, Leich Kenosis are Yehudim, I need the Tzibur to daven for me. So what does it mean, Leich Kenosis Kol Yehudim? The Maharal says, Mordechai was told, go gather them in Shul, and daven as a Tzibur. But here is the most beautiful application of this concept where you have this combination of the person who's carrying the Avnei Shoham on their shoulders. I feel the yoke of Klal Yisrael on me. But in reality, they're the ones carrying you. You think that you're carrying the burden of Klal Yisrael, but it's the greatest opportunity in the world to save Klal Yisrael. And believe it or not, this tension is found in Tanakh and in Chazal. But I'll ask you a question. If you become a rabbi, if you're appointed to a community leadership position, do you recite the bracha of Shehachiyanu or not? What would you say logically?
Such a position, of course not.
The Gemara
don't make it this good for you and good for the Tzibur.
The Gemara says, What did Yehoshua mean when he told Moshe, Kla'im? What were Eldad and Medad doing? They were prophesying something negative about Moshe. You know what the Gemara Sanhedrin says Yehoshua meant? Give them authority. And guess what will happen when the Tarchei Tzibur is upon them? Vehein kalin me'elehen. They won't last much longer. Says Tosfos, once they take the yoke of the Tzibur, they won't be happy anymore. And they won't be prophets anymore. Because a prophet can only receive a nevuah when he's happy. And if they're busy dealing with all of the communal issues, they're not going to be happy anymore. And there's a Gemara in Horios, where Gamaliel was giving a position of leadership to people, and he said, you know what, you probably didn't want this position because you thought it was, oh, honor, you don't want to accept the honor. I guarantee you this is not honor. Avdus ani notin lechem. This is a position of avdus. And Rashi says, when you're a community leader, the rabbim will need you, and you are bound by their needs. Lefi shemutol alav ol rabbim. And yes, Rav Teichtal himself, the author of the Eim Abam Nesmecha, has a tshuva about whether or not a Rav should recite Shachianu when appointed. And the major posek was Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Teichtal says, look at Rav Yaakov Emden. And he says, of course you do. You technically you'd make the bracha of Hatova Ameiti because you know what? There's a lot of tough responsibility, but the good outweighs the bad. He says, do you know what happens when you become a community leader, when you wear, quote-unquote, the Avnei Shoam? You're going to get physical benefits and spiritual benefits, and Hashem will, the Gemara says, will forgive you for all of your Averos. Ha'ola ligdula mochlin al-kol avonosev. And you know what? The good outweighs the bad. And yes, it's true. It's avdus, it's service, and it comes with a lot of stress and a lot of time and a lot of commitment. But you know what? If you're a good shidduch, if the community appreciates you, if you're in the job for the Shem Shemayim, darn right you make a shachianu, and really a tov ameitiv, because you're benefiting the community, and never underestimate the power of the community. You know, a lot of times, we have a chassid, like randomly pops into this minion, I don't know who he is. He has like a very distinct like hat, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You know, like he's a very tall chassid. He comes up to me and he says, so what do you do? And one night, like I'm learning, I said, I'm a Rebbe in high school. He says, do you know what a zechus you have? You have the zechus of the rabbin. You have the zechus of the rabbin. And I'm like, what's your name? Like, who are you? Like, Elio Anuf, he's like, give me a kiss. Like, it was one of the most inspirational moments like of my life. I don't know like if that guy's real or not. He pops in here like every so often. But that's the word of the evening. The Avnei Shoam might have been heavy, and it might have come with a lot of tears. You know, when you know what people are going through, you need like a tissue box like on you at all times. It's not normal. Sorrows are so real, and if you know what they're going through, you know, a shul rabbi, he looks around the shul. TABC, I look around the room, that kid's parents are fighting over the custody of him. That kid's parents both are out of a job. You know, that kid has a learning disability, and, you know, he's going through a really rough time trying to get into college right now. And you know, again, and a good community rabbi like the Kohen Gadol will daven very, very, very hard, and he'll carry that yoke on his shoulders, but ultimately, it's the tzibur that's carrying him. Because that chassid was right. When you work for the tzibur, the Ribono Shel Olam works extra hard for you. And that's where Rav Yaakov Emden Paskin, Zimza Zoche Umezaka Bavadai. It's an absolute zechus to be in that position, and therefore you would make the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv when you're appointed as a community leader. It's an amazing, amazing tshuva of Rav Yaakov Emden. He says that once you become it, Yeshlo Levarach Shechianu, or really it's Hatov HaMeitiv. And that, again, I don't know anyone who actually has practiced and made that bracha. He says, Mikom Makom Rabim Ne'anem Imenu Hanaz Gufanis Ruchanis V'Hachim Nistaber. We should all continue not to take our community leaders for granted, because they certainly don't take us for granted. And yes, where appropriate, you should bear the yoke of the community on your shoulders. If you have a neighbor who needs you, if you have a family member who needs you, carry the burden, and before you know it, they'll end up carrying you. Let's daven, Mark.